directions to get here tonight. And their topic is the practical application of sex education in the home. Now, last spring in Riverton, when Sister Christie Marie called Mr. Ross to ask if his wife could speak, he said, "I won't let her speak in this area on this topic without me." And he was insisting that it was a team. And when we heard him at Riverton, we certainly understood and saw the value of what Dan had said, and we agree with him. We wouldn't want to hear one of them talk alone. They have to speak as a team. Now, in our program, what we're doing is trying to educate you so that you, in turn, can educate your children so that they might have better experiences in life. And now, Mr. Law, Mr. Dan Law, will teach you on the practical applications of sex education in home.
Who's part of the show? I have a bit part tonight.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, seniors, sisters, and Reverend clergy. We are happy to be here. Can you hear me back there? Now? Okay. I don't know. They can hear me up in the third floor when I holler. We're happy to be here with you this evening and share this movie on menstruation with you. Recently, in our own living room, my husband and I showed a similar movie to our own girls. We felt that we had discussed the subject with our girls, but that we wanted them to know by our attitude and our instruction that we considered this subject an important one, and that we wished not only to use our own knowledge, but what was available to us in a professional way. There is so much help available to us on this subject, and not the least of these is the chance of parents coming together to share experiences and to learn from each other. We are not experts. We are parents. We feel there is a real need to be concerned about the sex education of our children, and we are doing our best to fulfill this need in our family. We are convinced that sex education is the job of parents. Nothing is more evident to us than to do this job is far from easy. Furthermore, to apply these facts in a constructive, guiding way as the children approach and enter their teens is really difficult. When Dan and I got married, we promised ourselves in the very beginning to be honest with our children. We didn't really know then we were going to have 11 children to be honest with about the facts of life, and this seems to be the real foundation for true education about sex, our attitude toward it. My own feeling as I approached marriage was a strong conviction that had God tried just a little harder, he could have come up with a nicer way to propagate the race. I came from a large family, a family that gave 4 sons in God's service as priests, and 4 sisters as nuns, and 6 other of us serving God in life in marriage. And yet I can remember feeling deep within me, if Mom and Dad had all these children, and they thought it was good, why didn't they tell me? They told me about God's wonderful plan and the things of nature, and went down to the shore, and the marvels of the ocean, and the different kinds of trees. Why didn't they tell me about this? Well, in a way, they were telling me. They were saying, you don't talk about this to your parents. It's taboo. It's not one of those nice things. It's a secret. It's naughty, dirty, or what have you. And yet, the happy life we had as a family contradicted what their silence was telling me so loudly. Still, our day came. I was expecting our 6th baby, and I thought I was very well prepared in our family as we went along, but I felt a real lack and a need for some more information. I remember seeing in a magazine a sign, an advertisement that said, "Mother, where do babies come from?" And I thought, this is for me. So I sent away for the book. It's a little book published by, I think it's the Presbyterian ministry, and it's written by a teacher for his 6-year-old child. I read the book, was very happy to get it. I knew, you know, kind of what you want to say, but you just want to see it in black and white. So I read the book as it recommended, and then it said, fill in the child's name as you go along, and make an appropriate time, and sit down. We did this, and my Peggy and I, who is our oldest, and read to the child. So I read the book to her, and she asked normal questions, and it was all finished. And the book recommends that, just as children we all know love to hear the same story over and over and over again, that to repeat it again in 6 or 8 months so that the child will, you know, understand it a little better. In about 8 months' time, I sat down again with Peg, and we started to talk it over, and I was reading the story again, and she finished it, and she said, thank you very much, Mommy. She said, that was wonderful, but how come your voice doesn't shake this time like it did the last time? So you see, although you really feel that you are prepared, the children can sense your very attitude when you're talking to them. I think Dan has had some of his own experiences about first questions.
This is that bit part. It was around the same time. Son Daniel, I guess about 6 years old, realized the baby was coming. Marge always let the children put their hand on her stomach to feel the movements of the children. This is part of our approach to the problem, the reality that they would know. And so the children were well aware that a baby was coming, and mother went to the hospital. I got a midnight call, I guess after taking Marge in, that